Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Leda Green. She is a healer who works with a group of ETs, and she probably is using a method which I wouldn't say is totally unique, but is quite unusual compared to normal healing process. So welcome to the program, Leda.
Thank you.
I think Hi, Mike. Yes. You can hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great. I think one of the first questions I must ask you, knowing that you have given the information that you've never been any different as far as the abilities you have, even from a child, when was the first time you realized you had them and that you were different to other people?
From very, very young age. When I was really young.
I mean, what actually happened that you realized, for example, that you did have some abilities that were different to other people?
I thought there were people, but there were actually beings. I saw beings that nobody else could see them. So my father used to tell me, don't tell anybody, just me and you, or you can tell us, you can tell mom and me. So when I grew up, they told me not to speak about it in public, and I didn't for a while.
Right. Did you at any time as you were growing up realize the significance of their presence?
Yes. They actually followed me everywhere. Everywhere. They were with me. They actually grew up with me.
When I was a kid, they were a kid.
When I was a teenager, they were teenagers.
Right.
Now that I'm an older lady, they're older. They actually suited themselves to my age, so
yes.
I wouldn't be afraid.
Oh, well, that was wonderful.
Now they are appearing at their own form.
Yes.
Which is actually, they don't have a form. I mean, I can see many beings from many dimensions, and many of whom that I see and in contact with don't have a figure. There are mainly a collective conscience. It's like a The most that I can really describe it to the human brain is like they look like a cloud. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening very carefully to what you're saying.
they are beings. I meet different kinds of beings also. I mean, I meet beings from lower dimensions that have figures, that have bodies, some kind of a body. So I meet many species from many dimensions, from many different dimensions, planets,
right.
Solar systems.
When you meet them, do they come to you in the sense that you can have like conversations with them?
We communicate telepathically, and I'm part of this consciousness. I'm part of it, so we actually don't talk. We know. I know. I mean, it's a collective consciousness, and I know what they think, and they know what I think. I know what they know. They know what I know. It's a huge knowledge about everything.
Right. Now, bearing in mind that we have probably only become very much involved with the ascension period and with the cycle ending this December, did they at some point tell you that you had a special mission on Earth? Because I gather you are here to make changes.
I'm not aware yet of the details of my mission, but I know that I do. But I don't know it yet in details. It hasn't been specified to me yet.
Right.
But I know I have a mission, yes.
Okay.
My first mission was to change people's DNA.
Yes.
My first mission was actually add, not change. Add DNA strings to people, and I have been doing this for the last 22 years. So I have touched a lot of people.
So is adding the DNA strings something that helps to heal the people that come to you? Because I guess most of them have health problems or something like that, and they're obviously hoping to receive some sort of healing.
Right. Exactly. Most people that came to me were ill or carried some kind of disturbance, either emotional or physical or psychological, and they came to me, and I helped them heal themselves. So at the time they came to me, even if they came to me only once, I was able to actually add it to their DNA, to their bloodstream. And if I didn't complete it, they came back another time, once again or three or four times. Of course, there are patients that come for years. The psychological patients are coming maximum 3 years, no more.
Right. So when you say that you help them to heal themselves, what do you actually do? Do you teach them some sort of meditation or some procedure? Tell me about that.
The very disturbed ones, at the beginning when they come, they don't want to hear about anything. They're passive. But like after 3-4 months, I start teaching them. I teach them about my world. I tell them about my world, as alien as it is to them. And I give them instructions of what to eat. I direct them about their eating behavior, about their sleeping behavior. I teach them. I don't call it meditation because it's a very big word. And it actually separates this habit of going into a peace mode of the brain from the daily routine. So what I tell them is an exercise instead of running or swimming or in addition sometimes. Please exercise with your brain. And I direct them with many many exercises that work. And they come to me excited and said, listen, it worked. It worked.
Right. So when you talk about eating and sleeping, would that, as one might guess, be eating healthy foods such as raw foods, not processed? And is sleeping having sufficient for your needs rather than sort of burning the midnight oil?
I'll start with the latter, with the sleeping.
Many,
especially young people, have a lot of problems, a lot of sleeping problems, and their sleeping habits are disturbed because of the electronic era or the media era. And they're sitting until very late hours or very early mornings, and they just forget about sleeping. So I'm not asking them to actually go to sleep for this this and this many hours. I'm telling them, we need only 4 very good hours of sleep. So choose when would you like to do that within the 24 hour, considering that you're going to work, that you have to help at home, and or have fun too. And they choose it. And they start with sitting 2 hours and disconnecting themselves from the computer or from all the other activities that actually keeps them awake. Mm. And they don't get this sleep. And gradually, I bring it to a level of that they go to sleep at around 11 o'clock p.m. and they wake up around 5, 6 a.m.
Right.
But it's very, very gradual. Besides that, when I treat people, I actually change their brain mode to alpha mode. I mean, I do the meditation for them because when you do meditate, you actually put your brain into an alpha mode. And it's a much calmer mode. So gradually, I bring them to be very, very calm. This is something that you really have to experience. I think you started experiencing my energies. Am I right, Mike? Do you feel twinkling in your palms or your?
Well, when I think about it, I could agree with that. Yes, I wasn't really thinking about it, but yes.
So when somebody really sits at a session, they feel me. They feel my energies. Usually they go home very tired because my energy level is very, very heavy. Mm. And they all experience, they all say that they could fall asleep. Many of them do fall asleep.
Right.
While getting treatment.
Yeah. Now, I believe you've said that when you
That's
meet people...
Sleep.
Sorry?
Do you want me to answer about the food, too?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I'd forgotten you hadn't mentioned that.
Okay.
Yes, carry on. Yeah, do that first.
About eating behavior, I think that people can eat anything that they want. They don't exactly have to eat raw food or green food. Of course, it's better. But everyone has to go through some kind of phase being able to exclude from their diet certain foods, and that's a process that also people go through while they come to me. I'm vegan.
Yes.
And
right.
But my children, I have 3 sons, and all 3 of them, they still eat beef or chicken or fish. And it's a process to diminish these from the diet. And I ask them to eat whatever they like. As long as they're happy, they can eat anything they want, not to exaggerate. I give them specific diets. I direct them to clean up the bloodstream. There is food that you can clean up the digestion, system. I become a dietitian with some people. I treat many cancer people, and they can't eat anything. So if I come and tell them, don't eat this and don't eat that and don't, I put them into a much higher stress than they are already. So I tell them, you can do anything you want. They come to not eating anything anyway. But once they start gaining their appetite back and they start eating some food, they're very happy. It's a sign of healing. And eating is, right now, for human beings, eating is some sort of happiness. It gives them a lot of joy. Look how many restaurants are opening in wild world. It's becoming a culture. How can I stop them from that joy? But at least they know how much of it to consume. It's like alcohol or anything else. I don't restrict people from not eating or eating stuff. I tell them my opinion, but it's just a recommendation, nothing else.
Right.
And I tell them that it doesn't make them more spiritual if they don't eat or they do eat. They ask me why I don't eat any, why am I vegan? And I tell them because my energy level is very high and I don't really need food in order to live. My energies are actually feeding me. They're sustaining me.
Right. Yes, I can understand that. Now, you said, I believe, that as soon as you meet people, you can immediately connect with them. Does that mean that you also immediately know where there are imbalances in their body?
I can see people in many ways. I can see like X-ray, like ultrasonic machine. I can see in my vision. I can feel or sense their energy, and most of the time I use the energy way because our energy level has to be always one piece. And when I look at the person's energy field and I see pouches in it of dark spots, I know that that place is hurt.
Yes.
And I fix the energy level. I don't really touch the organ because once the energy root is healed, or the energy field is healed and is complete, the person healed.
Right, yes.
Did I answer your question? Did I understand it well?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes. So, can you control the response you get that way, or does it happen automatically?
I can control it. I can heal a person in one session, and I can heal him in many sessions. I choose the speed of healing according to the person's brain reception, because it takes time for the brain to understand the process of healing. It takes time. When I started at the very beginning,
yes.
I used to do it instant because I thought, right. Okay, they come and they're very disturbed and they have to be, you know, they have to know quickly that they're okay, but they couldn't really absorb it. And then the psychological impact was terrible. So I decided that I'm going to go very gradually, and not everybody is healed, by the way.
Right.
Not everybody is healed.
No. I was going to ask you about that because I wonder if some people who come to you subconsciously enjoy the attention they get when they're ill, that they don't really want to release the symptoms.
Exactly. There are some people that don't heal. They just don't heal. Because they, as you said, subconsciously they don't release the pain or they release whatever they are holding. Also it has something to do with their own karma or root, their choices. I can't change because the soul won't let me. So I go with whatever the soul is asking me. I go whatever the energy is asking me, not whatever the brain is asking me.
Right.
I'm actually their inner voice.
Yeah. So what do you see, if anything, when someone comes to you with a mental problem? How do you sort of find that out?
In what problem? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the word.
If they have a mental problem.
Oh, how do I see that?
Yes.
I see that they have a mental problem, and I hear a lot of noise in their brain.
Right.
I see that their thoughts are disturbed. I can read their mind. I can read their mind. I scan them like a machine. When you scan someone, like a machine that scans something, okay? I actually scan them, and I find that the brain is in a very big disturbance. I feel the heaviness of their thoughts. Actually, I can feel their pain. I'm not aching, but I can feel it. I can feel their emotions. I can read their mind, and they are in a great noise. It's like, how can I disturb? Well, some of them are like a very busy street. You know, lunchtime in Manhattan, 12 o'clock in Manhattan, everybody's rushing out of the buildings and there's no space to walk, and you stumble into people. That's how their brain is. So I can actually feel it. They have heaviness breathing. They can't breathe. Their stomach is running. The bloodstream is faster than usual. I usually touch people at their palms, and I can feel pain coming out of them. Some people who feel, they say that it hurts, and actually their hands is not hurting.
Right. So,
So
what are you actually doing when you just very lightly place your fingers on someone?
I'm actually placing their energy field on their palm. Many years ago, I did not touch people, but I found out that when I do touch them at their palm, it actually they connect better to me. Like I'm not some distant something, and I try not to have distance between me and them. And I want them to actually feel very comfortable, very cozy with me. And so when I actually touch their palm, I actually take their energy field and I place it as a map on their palm. It's like a palm reflexology, but not the same. And I touch places, and they start feeling it in the body, mainly in the brain, Sometimes in the organ that it hurts or is disturbed. Mike, are you there?
I am indeed, yes. I was waiting in case you wanted to add a few more comments there. So, now you do workshop sessions. What is sort of a typical session that you do?
Until now, I did mainly workshops for women, mainly women or couples. It starts with I want couples to come because I'm also a marriage counselor. Intuitive. I studied marriage counseling in a university, but I use my intuition mainly, more than what I studied. So I want to start with couples, but men wouldn't come, so only the women come, the wives.
Yeah.
And, like, it's 12 meetings, like, towards the seventh session, the husbands want to come, too. They want to join because they see the differences in the women.
Right.
And I direct them to firstly do whatever they want without hurting their spouse at home. without creating any waves that actually would create any problems between them. I teach them to walk inside the relationship. Most of the people that come to me are having some kind of a problem in their relationship, or they are very weak in the relationship, or they're very weak in any relationship, not only between themselves. And I back them. I actually back them with every action that they want to take. It's either going away with a friend, or eating certain food, or wearing something that usually they don't, buying stuff. It's very simple actions, but for a person who lives in a relationship and doesn't really exercise this freedom, it's a lot. So I teach them how to express themselves without hurting other people and hurting themselves especially. Meditate. I teach them how to meditate. I teach them how to breathe. Most people don't breathe. They don't breathe. What do I do? 12 sessions. I teach them body language.
Yes.
Usually towards the middle of the, I bring some kind of a dancer. I do drama. I go into, drama. Two sessions we are acting as our, we use the people in the workshop as our feelings. Like we choose every person, we choose people from the group that we are connect to, as we see them as our feeling. One of them is love, the other one is creativeness. Another one is anger. And I ask them to place these emotions, to actually place them in a first row, second row, first in the row, second in the row. And it takes about an hour until they actually place themselves as a map with these people. They play with them. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's like a theater of emotions.
Mm.
We draw things. I teach them how to read drawings of their own children, how to teach their children how to express themselves. The level of anxiety between the couple comes down, and in the last workshop, I had this woman that she was very unhappily living with her boyfriend for many years, and she wanted to leave him. At the end, she didn't. He came also along, and he didn't really cooperate. But at the end, he asked her actually not to leave him. He knew that she was going to leave him. She tells me that she keeps in touch with me, and she tells me that she's not very happy, but she has a more pleasant feeling of being inside the house, and she's considering. It's a change. It's a major change. And I know that she won't separate from me, but this time she stays there from her own free will, not because of many other reasons. It's very complicated. I mean, in 12 sessions of 2.5 hours, of course I'm not solving the whole their whole problem, but I'm putting them on a track. I'm putting them on a track.
Okay.
Many of them keep in touch with me. Many of them keep in touch with me.
I'm sure so, yes. Yes, that's understandable.
With each other. They become very, very, very good friends. Very good friends. The workshops are, they consist of 20 people, 25 people, and many of them don't know each other. They come from very different backgrounds, very different areas, and they are not homogeneous. They're heterogeneous. They become very good friends.
Right. Now, can I ask you, in a way that you might call a sort of personal question, but are you of such a high consciousness level that you are bound to tell the truth?
Of course, we must tell the truth. If I don't want to say, if I don't want to answer someone, if I don't want to tell the truth, I just don't answer. I'm not saying anything, but whatever comes out of my mouth must be the truth. Must be. I'm very angry when my children don't tell me the truth. I become very angry with them. I become very annoyed. But I must. If I don't want to tell you the truth, I'll just shut up. And people know that when I shut up, I'm just not telling them something.
Hello, Leda. Sorry about
that
break there. That doesn't happen very often, but I lost my internet connection. And it took a few minutes to get it back. Anyway, I was asking you a question which you answered because I was assuming that you clearly have a very high consciousness level, and I wondered how that affected you when it came to talking to people. I mean, I just put it to you that you feel you have to speak the truth at all times.
Yes.
Fine.
I must.
That was only a minor thing that I thought I would ask you, because it occurred to me that when we all reach a certain level and we become light beings, we cannot do other than tell the truth.
That we cannot what?
Well, we cannot do anything.
I didn't hear the end of the session. Excuse me?
Right. We cannot do anything but tell the truth when we reach a level where we become light beings.
Right.
Fine. Now, I'd like to sort of move the subject on a little bit now. By the way, can you foresee the future?
Yes, I can.
Right. You see the probabilities of what will happen. I recall you did mention in your interview with Alan Steinfeld that you felt there could be an earthquake of some description in the Middle East that would bring the people together.
Actually, there is going to be an earthquake. There are going to be many, many movements of the of Earth everywhere. Let's call it earthquake. And there are going to be many geographical movements and changes all over the world that actually going to bring all people together.
Right.
It's going to happen all over the world, not only in Israel. It is going to happen everywhere. I mean, this is the year that all the changes, the planet on the surface is going to change because the poles of Earth have shifted. They shifted already, and that creates. I mean, the effect that it creates is that wherever there is water, it's tilting to one side, and new lands are recovering, are being covered, are being exposed, and old lands are going to be covered. So there are going to be many changes on Earth. Within the next 6 months, there are going to happen a lot of. There is going to be a lot of action all over the world, not only in Israel. Israel is another spot. Yes. Definitely.
Right. Now, there are a lot of us that believe that at the end of the year, on the come the 21st of December, that there will be an alignment with our sun and the great central sun that's going to power through such a high energy that there will, it will be a key point in our ascension. Now, is that how you see this year ending?
Yes, certainly, yes. Certainly, I see the same thing.
Right, do you...
We are going to...
Yeah, I was going to say, is your understanding such that you would say that only the people that are prepared for ascension have a sufficiently high enough vibration or level of consciousness would actually be uplifted?
Do you want me to figure out a number, or do you want me to say the number? I don't think I should say that.
I suppose what I'm really asking you is, some people feel that everybody will ascend. I'm asking you if the only people that will ascend are those that are already prepared and of the higher vibration.
I have to be very careful in answering this question because I don't want to create panic.
No, right. No, it's all right.
I have to be very careful to answer this question. Mike, would you like me to answer this question? Would you like me to answer this question?
Oh, by all means, yes.
There are only those who have... only those with a high vibration will ascend. But those who are left behind are also going to continue their life in moving forward, onward. And there are going to be many beings to continue directing them, like they have done with us.
Right.
Actually, I'm going to be left behind to continue helping the ones that are left behind.
Right.
So I'm one of those that are left behind to help.
Yes. I was aware that some people would elect to give that service to those that were left behind. Yes, that's fine. Okay, well, you've actually answered the question. It's quite straightforward, really. Now, I'm coming back to your friends, your ET group. Do you know where they come from? I mean, do they say that they come, for example, as some do, from the constellation of the Pleiades or forth?
Well, I meet many, yes. I meet the Pleiades and I meet the aliens from the sixth dimension. From Sirius A, B, D. I meet with the with those from the eighth dimension. I meet the beings all the way up to infinity.
Right. So, if your group come from the Pleiades, then you are also a Pleiadian, presumably.
My personal group. The group that I'm connected with, they come from infinity.
Right, okay. So do the ETs that you see that have a body, are they of such a level of consciousness that they are members of the Galactic Federation or something similar?
Yes, they are a member of the Galactic Federation. They actually, yes, there are. They are.
Okay, that's fine. Could you tell us a little bit about the spaceship that you've referred to before and about the type of advanced technologies that they use on them? I mean, is it a mothership, for example, or is it a planet that's being made into a ship?
Is it what, Mike? I'm sorry.
Is it a...
I didn't hear.
I gather that some ETs are so advanced that they can take a planet and sort of hollow out the, take the middle out of it and make it into something like a mothership.
Exactly. Actually, they have, there are many kinds of spaceships. There are spaceships that are as big as planet Earth. There are small spaceships that are like laboratories of checking plants or insects or whatever moves on the planet. Sometimes there are spaceships like exactly like you see in the movies that are with lights. The ones that I have been visiting to are they look like they were so big that I didn't see the end of it. It felt like I was in a place that I could go on and on and on for ages, but like time stops when I'm in there. Time stops. There is no time.
Really?
Yes.
Would you say it was like being in a big city on the Earth?
I feel that I'm most protected, most, I don't know how to explain the feeling that I'm there. I feel like I'm at home. I never felt at home anywhere in the world, and I've been to many countries, I lived in many countries during my life. But I feel that I'm at home, and there is a lot of space over there, a lot of space. It's different. It's the technology. I don't know if it's even technology. Everything is energy moving wise. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is by thinking. Even moving the spaceship. Because the spaceship itself is an organism.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
The spaceship itself is an organism. To some spaceships I can actually absorb myself inside. They like hug me. Okay, and I'm inside somewhere.
Yes.
Does it sound familiar to you?
Not hugging, no, but sounds a very nice thought.
Some spaceship they just beam me up.
Hmm.
And some spaceships they come to me. Like they create the reality, even in my house, in my very little apartment. So, most of the time I'm being beamed up. Most of the time. And the spaceship itself, it's an organism. It's not like an airplane. It's nothing like an airplane. It's nothing dead. It's alive. Earth is alive. Earth is a being. The spaceship is like Earth. Is a being. And every single being that is inside it or outside it is actually in connection with it. Anywhere in the universe or anywhere in the universes. We are interconnected to one another. Oh, do you remember the movie Avatar? Have you seen the movie Avatar?
I did see that. Yes, indeed, yes.
Okay, do you remember that they were, when at the end, when they sat and they tried to move the soul from one body to another, they all connected to one another. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, yes, yes.
Okay, so that's how spaceships or beings are connected to one another. But they're the way that we are connected to one another is different kind, is like on an energy level mode, and that's how we are connected also to the spaceship itself. I can actually feel the spaceship.
So, to what extent?
Do I make sense?
Sorry?
Do I make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, well, I mean, I've learnt quite a lot about ET technology and things like that, so it sounds perfectly okay for me. I have heard that some of the ships are organic. I was just going to ask you, since they have a degree of consciousness, how do they use it? I mean, can they do things of their own, in their own way, because of their own level of consciousness, or do they only react to, say, the people controlling them?
They're not allowed to interfere in people's life here. They're not allowed. We're not allowed to touch people. We're not allowed to change the courses of life here. And we are here, I mean, they're here only to observe. Only to observe, and if any help is needed, to help. But that's it. Planet Earth is like a laboratory, is like an aquarium. Okay? And right. We are the fish inside it. And
I like that.
Some people might not like what I'm saying. I apologize. But I have no other way to explain it. And we are not allowed to touch the course of life of anyone here.
Mm.
We are just observers and came to help to expand the level of consciousness and connect people to the universe, to make them part of the universe.
Yeah, so that connects with me because I've heard similar stories from other sources. So does that also apply to people that travel back into the past in the sense that they can't interfere with people's lives in the past to alter the future?
Certainly. Certainly. There is no past or future. All times exist at one time, at one given time. Okay? When I'm required to tell someone, when somebody comes to my clinic and I have to see how can I help this person, I travel linearly at this person's life and I see his past and his present and I see how he is in the future, because all times exist at the same time. The 12th century exists right now. The 100th century exists now. Okay?
Right.
And when I look into, and I can describe it to you linearly, but it doesn't really exist linearly. It's like a panoramic way of existence. And we are just observers. We're not allowed to touch the past or the future. Mm. And because at one given time, it's a present. It's the present for that person in that realm. And if I touch that, it actually affects the whole chain of events.
Right.
In whatever you call future or present. So we're not allowed to touch. We're just observers. There are beings that are called timekeepers. And the timekeepers are the only beings that can change or touch. Touch is a better word.
Yes.
In those spots. Only the timekeepers. And there are very, very high beings. Very high beings. Above the Federation that you talked about.
Right. Hmm. Well, so thank you for answering that. That's very, very interesting. Now, if you recall when you were being interviewed with Alan Steinfeld, you gave him what you called a very tiny ET stone, which my first impression seeing it on the computer was that it looked like an implant. But was it an implant, a crystal, or purely a stone, as you called it?
No, it looks like a stone, but it's actually an organism. It's it's the fallout of the spaceship. Like our skin is actually falling, right?
Yeah.
Our skin is actually falling, right? So the spaceship has a skin. It's like the spaceship's cover. It has a skin. And when they rise or sit or move, actually it falls. And this fall, actually becomes a matter when it hit Earth's ground. But it's actually an organism. It's still alive, and whatever it touches on Earth, it sends, it scans, and it sends all the information to the spaceship.
So what would that be?
It looks like a stone, but it's really not a stone. It's an organism.
No.
It's totally a live organism. It looks tiny. I have it. I have many different sizes of it at home. Many different sizes. Sometimes a bit like the size of my palm. Some of them are very little, and they are actually it's actually duplicates itself when it feels very safe. It duplicates itself. It's very funny. It's an organism. It's actually an organism.
Right. But what is the information used for that is sent back?
How does an alien feel when it goes somewhere? It starts saying, oh, I see, for example, a bed. I see a piece of something which has four legs, and on top of it there is something that is called a mattress, and it actually scans it, and it sends the information to the spaceship, and they process it to their information or library system. I think I didn't answer your question.
Yeah, I think you did.
Am I right?
What you're saying really is that wherever they go, they collect information about the places that they're visiting. And it's available to anybody else then.
Exactly, yes.
Right. Now, you said in the future or in the higher levels there is no religion such as is taught here or in this time, but they do have a belief in a god or some supreme energy. Could you clarify that a little bit?
There is no religion.
No.
But there are a set of rules or I can't even call them regulations or rules, but there are it's manners are is a better word to describe this being. Like, I know within myself that I'm not allowed to hurt anyone in any way. I know within myself that I'm not allowed to lie to anyone. But I know it. I haven't been taught this. I know it. I know a lot of things that I'm not allowed to do and whatever I'm allowed to do. So, in the universe, we know things. We don't need anyone to tell us what to do and what not to do. We know them. The minute the soul is born, it's created. It's not born. It's created. it knows. It has all the information it needs to be part of the universe. And it just grows until it becomes a higher being and a higher being and a higher being and a higher being until it actually goes back to the source.
Right.
There is a source. But we are not being taught these things. We know them.
Hmm.
We actually know them. We all use, we are all connected to every planet has a main information system. And every member of that planet is actually connected to that library, to that information system. And they are actually feeding from that place, from that source. There are some planets that the babies, so-called babies, are being taught within the first 3 years of their being, of their existence, everything they need to know for the rest of their life. And most beings live over 3,000, 4,000 years.
Mm, right.
Okay, our body, for example, our body has the knowledge of living over 1,000 years, this earthian body. But we have scenes in three major scenes. The first one is talking, the second one is eating, and the third one is dressing. So our uniform on this planet is our bodies, without the clothes on. The way we're supposed to talk, we were supposed to talk to each other was telepathically. I create a telepathic route with every single person that comes to me. I actually communicate with them by thinking. And we were not supposed to eat. We have enough energy to feed ourselves. We were not supposed to eat, but we do. We haven't overcome this thing that is called eating culture. I mean, right now is a culture. It's a gigantic culture, and many people live by it. So when a soul is born, it actually knows what to do and how to be.
So one has to ask the question, what went wrong where the people of this earth are concerned?
As I said before, this is a laboratory. This place is a laboratory. Many species are on this planet. Species, I mean, of people, not of aliens. Many, many different beings from different dimensions put here seeds of people. And and actually it created a mess, because they didn't really direct it. And it became whatever is described in the Bible as Babylon Tower. A lot of misunderstanding between people. We were not actually directed by anything. We were disconnected from the universal community.
Yeah.
And we were put to sleep. We were narrowed by our DNA to only two cords that doesn't carry much information.
Right.
And it also doesn't, it actually took from us the knowledge of not aging and how to use our energies. But it's actually coming back, because those beings are coming back to help us.
Right. Fine, yes. Now, Leader, as best as I can work out, because we had that interruption, I think we must be in the last couple of minutes of our time. So I think I'm going to have to thank you very much for coming onto my program. It's been a very intriguing conversation with you. I do hope this sort of information gets out to many more people. So thank you. So can I thank you very much for being part
thank
of the
program.
Thank you
for having me.
Well,
Mike,
very
thank
welcome.
You for having me. I'm very honored. Thank you very much.
Well, I sure I am as well, and I thank you immensely. Right, friends, that was certainly a very unusual interview. And we have to thank Leader for being prepared to give us that information. My guest next week will be Frances Key. She's going to talk about her books called The Team, A Mother's Wisdom from the Other Side. And she's written two books, obviously called Book One and Book Two. The last one is ready for release, I think, or may have just come out. Anyway, that should also be interesting. So thank you for being with me today, and I hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.